Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arntzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arntzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 14th day of August, 2017. And I am so delighted to have back on the program an old friend of mine who hasn't been on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for quite some time. His name is Dr. Joseph Losardo, and he's a former elder in a very large, charismatic, messianic congregation in New Jersey who earned his Ph.D. in molecular biology of cancer at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx, New York, where he remained as a researcher until answering the call to ministry and planting a Reformed Baptist congregation known as Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey. And today, Dr. Losardo is going to be addressing with us a local church's mission to rescue unborn children from infanticide. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joseph Losardo. It's great to have you on the program again, Joe.
Oh, it's great to be here, Chris. It's been too long, and it's good to be back.
Yes, it's been much too long. And in studio with me is my co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor.
Hello, it's good to be here again.
And I'm going to give our listeners our email address right away in the event that they have any questions for Dr. Joe Losardo. It is chrisarntzen@gmail.com, chrisarntzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. I can see this topic easily lending itself to people having personal and private questions, such as those perhaps who are considering having an abortion, or those who have already had an abortion or more than one abortions and are totally riddled with guilt over it. Or there could be a host of issues that are involved in this. Perhaps your church is involved in a pro-life outreach and you have to remain silent for the time being about it publicly because of the fact that you are being sued or something like that. We understand that those would be reasons to remain anonymous, but if it's not a personal and private matter, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Well, first of all, Joe, before we even get into the main subject at hand, I want you to tell our listeners something about your own personal conversion to Christ, the religion of your youth, if any, and what circumstances our Lord providentially brought about in your life that drew you to himself, and then how you went from being an elder in a very prominent, charismatic, messianic congregation in New Jersey to becoming a Reformed Baptist, which is quite a leap, and then planting the Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey. So start off with a summary, if you could, of your testimony of salvation.
Sure, sure. I'd love to, Chris. Well, I was raised a nominal Catholic in an Italian-American home in New York, and we went to church pretty much twice a year. Religion was not really an important part of my upbringing. After I got out of college, my brother shared the gospel with me. He had received the Lord while I was away at college.
Is this Chris?
Yes, that's Chris. Yes, yes. He's 2 years younger, and I saw the change in his life. I saw the reality of what Christ had done in his life, and he shared me, and the Lord worked on my heart, showed me my need for him, for repentance and faith, and I didn't know it at the time, but I responded to an altar call, but that was, I didn't know that God was doing the work and drawing me, but he used that at a local charismatic Pentecostal church, and I started to grow there. It wasn't a wild, crazy church, you know. They had a good sound teacher who taught the Word, who went through the Word systematically, preached the Word. I grew in that church, graduated from graduate school after I got out of after I finished my PhD, I started working at Hoffman LaRoche, which is a pharmaceutical company in New Jersey. Needing to move to New Jersey, I started looking for a congregation here, started attending a large Messianic congregation that had a radio ministry. I had learned about the church through its radio, through the radio ministry, and ended up joining that church, and was called into ministry in that church. It was a Messianic congregation. The pastor is Jewish. A portion of the congregation is Jewish, and kind of focused on some of the aspects of Messianic Judaism, you know, some of the Jewish traditions and things like that.
And the pastor, who is still there, to my knowledge, is a published author and has even been interviewed on major television networks involving his published works.
Exactly. This all happened after I left. At that time, that was not the case. This goes back out 1993, 94, somewhere around there.
Yeah, they had a program on the station that I worked for back then, WMCA and WWDJ.
That's right. Yes, exactly. The Lord certainly used that in my life. I learned a tremendous amount just being on the job about history and learned from mistakes as well. Also, thankful that I met my wife there as well. Let's see, around 2000, right? 1999, 2000. I was starting to see things in the scripture that I was not being taught in the church. I started to see particularly issues of God's sovereign grace. I started, one day I read Ephesians. It's funny, I was on a little bit of a break, a sabbatical from my ministry, and I was studying Ephesians chapter 1, and I read it, and it was like I read it for the first time. I sat back and said, what did I believe about this text for all my life as a Christian? It was like my eyes were open to the meaning of God's electing grace and what it means to be called to the foundation of the world. Having God opened up my eyes through the doctrine, at that time realized that the church that I was in and the teaching of God's sovereign grace were kind of different, but yet at the same time I didn't necessarily want to leave for that reason, but there were a lot of other things too, a lot of different reasons for our leaving that congregation, and that's when we planted Bread of Life Fellowship in 2003.
Now, can you tell us how you became introduced to the doctrines of sovereign grace?
There was an elder at the church at the Messianic congregation, and he was known as Bill the Calvinist.
You know there's hardly any Calvinists in the church when he's called Bill the Calvinist. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry if my laughter deafened you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, so it was funny, yes, exactly. But he was accepted there, and we knew that he believed a little differently. But he was not forceful. He just shared certain things here and there with me. I think it was two books in particular, The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink, and Chosen by God by R.C. Sproul.
Excellent books.
Yeah, and these two books really were the convincers for me. But prior to that, it was basically books on ecclesiology. It was books on the church. I read books from Jay Adams and also John MacArthur, and I realized that there was something different in what they were presenting compared to what we were using as our model for ministry, like books like Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Church, or Bill Hyde. This was a church that had mega church, although itself it wasn't a mega church itself. It had the ideas were certainly similar to mega church ideology, and I just saw differences, and that really was what started to lead me in the direction of realizing that the differences that I was seeing with my eyes in the church had a doctrinal basis to them.
Yeah, and for one thing that I remember from the radio program hosted by that congregation when I was working for WMCA and 970 DJ in New Jersey was that they believed in new extra-biblical revelation.
Yes.
Yeah, divine revelation outside of the Scripture. So I'm sure that became, when you became convinced of the doctrines of grace, there was probably something in that regard that got you somewhat uncomfortable, to say the least, remaining there.
Well, yeah, and the direction that the church that I was in was going was more and more of an emphasis on signs and wonders and extra-biblical revelation. That was involved as well, yes.
And one thing I think we should make it clear, because people listening might think that there's some kind of polar opposite phenomenon with Calvinism and a love for the Jews and a passion to reach out to them with the gospel. People might even be surprised that Chosen People Ministries, a major messianic ministry in New York City, was actually founded through the outreach of Presbyterian evangelists in the 19th century. And even Mitch Glazer, their current president, is a five-point Calvinist, although he is a dispensationalist.
Right.
He is a thoroughgoing Calvinist, and I don't know if he still is, but he was for many years a member of a Presbyterian church.
So, oh, that's interesting.
Huh. So these things are not polar opposite. In fact, every church that loves the doctrines of sovereign grace should also have a love and a passion to be bringing the gospel to the Jewish people, because they know that God has an elect from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And so there should be a burden there. And it is odd, isn't it, Joe, that that a Jew could come to Christ and reject unconditional election because of the fact that even in the Old Covenant, God had a peculiar people.
Amen.
That he chose from out of the masses of humanity, not because of anything good within them, not because of any foreseen actions or decisions on their part, but just purely out of his love for a unique group of people that were unlovely, that did nothing and had nothing within them to deserve or warrant his love. They demonstrated disobedience throughout the entirety of the Old Testament and wound up crying out for the death of God's only son. But he still, at that time, in that dispensation of time, God had chosen the nation of Israel out from among the other pagan nations. And yet, when a Jew comes to Christ, there are a minority who are believers in the doctrines of sovereign grace, but it's just that, it's a minority. It seems like the overwhelming majority reject the doctrines of sovereign grace, and some of them are vehemently anti-Reformed or anti-Calvinist. It really is odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very ironic that here are a people that their scriptures, if there's one thing the Old Testament teaches, it's God's election. And how they can understand that God passed over, God elected a people and passed over a people for centuries, but somehow worked differently, I guess. Maybe that's part of it. Part of the problem is dispensationalism, the idea, you know, that God works differently in the new covenant. But if we just see him working the same way, it ought to be very easy for a Jewish person to understand unconditional election.
And just out of curiosity, I mean no disrespect to my charismatic and Pentecostal friends listening. I have many brothers in Christ who are charismatic and Pentecostal, but I am not myself. And I believe you also, when you became Reformed, you did abandon the concept of modern day sign gifts and the charismatic movement attached to that.
Well, certainly some of it for sure. Being a Pentecostal, we believed, you know, that you had to speak in other tongues as an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, things like that.
So your church then took it that far, because not all charismatics take the sign gifts as a necessary sign of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The mainline Pentecostal denominations do, but your church actually agreed with the mainline Pentecostals on that.
The first church that I attended, yeah.
Okay.
Not the Messianic Church. The Messianic Church.
Oh, okay.
They were just more into leading by sign. You know, looking for sign, opening up the Bible, pointing and finding a verse. You know, and then you know that means something. That kind of sign seeking. All of that I certainly reject. How God works and his distribution of gifts. I can't say. He's sovereign. He can do whatever he will. But as far as these idols of man, I certainly reject them.
Well, you have come to a place where you and your congregation over there at Bread of Life, mm-hmm, Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey, Started this work. Tell our listeners something specifically about Bread of Life Fellowship.
We are located in Wayne, New Jersey. We started out in 2003 as a home church. We met in homes for approximately 2 years, 2.5 years, outgrew it, and since then have just been meeting in different locations. We were meeting in a hotel for a while. We had a building for a little while, and now we're meeting in another church building, which is very good for us because we're not really looking to have our own church building necessarily. It works very well. We're helping out another church by our presence being there, and we have a great relationship with them. The Lord has blessed the church with growth. We are presently at about 80 members and approximately 100 to 10 on a Sunday morning, and we love the Word of God. It's a great group of people, an elder-led congregation with a plurality of elders who love the Word of God. We utilize the London Baptist Confession of 1689 as our guide for understanding the scriptures, and we're preaching through. I'm presently in a series preaching through the Gospel of Matthew. We go through books of the Bible. All of our elders are preaching through books of the Bible, and the Lord's been blessing, adding to our number, baptisms, many marriages over the last few years, a lot of new babies in the church. So God's certainly been blessing us with many signs of His of life in our midst.
Yeah, I just had the privilege to preach on a text in Matthew when I was asked by the congregation where I'm a member to preach again. This was my, I believe, my third time. I preached at the local Bethesda Mission in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is a basically a Christian homeless shelter for men and a ministry for addicts of all kinds and so on, men who have hit rock bottom and that kind of a thing. And
yeah.
And I have a heart for that because I had gone through not only a long period of time before my conversion, enslaved to drunkenness, but then a period of tragic backsliding that I was rescued out of and went to a ministry very similar to that in North Carolina, Hebron Colony Ministry. So I have a heart for that. But I preached on the parable of the wedding banquet, and that is quite a remarkable passage of Scripture because of the fact that it really is a summary of the entire history of redemption from the Old Testament to the New, and how Christ's enemies, or those that claim to be the children of God, persecuted not only the Old Testament saints and prophets, but all the way up through the New Testament, with not only the persecution of the apostles, John the Baptist and the apostles, but obviously the persecution and crucifixion of Christ himself. But quite a remarkable passage, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy, if you haven't already hit that one in your series, I'm sure you're going to enjoy preaching through that.
I haven't hit it yet. We just finished the parables in chapter 13. Parable of the sower, which is obviously the classic parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the seed and the leaven, and the dragnet. So they're great. I mean, they are really a wonderful opportunity to show what God is doing in the church, even in the world and in the church, and how He is saving and elect people.
Yeah, well, that passage of the sower and the seed is so clearly revealing that when we evangelize, there is something different about the soils that makes those seeds take root and flourish and grow, or wither and die. And it's such a clear example and demonstration of how not all humanity are equal. They're not on the same playing field. They're not all identical in their regard to a receptivity to the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to go to our first break right now. We're going to get more into the exact subject that we had scheduled for today, and that is a local church's mission to rescue unborn children from infanticide. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question regarding that topic, and we already have several people waiting to have their questions asked and answered by you, Joe. But if anybody would like to get in line and ask a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please remember to give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And you may remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter that you're asking. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Lusardo, God willing, after these messages from our sponsors.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 90 minutes to go is Dr. Joseph Lusardo, who is a pastor, the senior pastor at Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey. We are discussing a local church's mission to rescue unborn children from infanticide. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen at gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Joe, before I go to any of the questions that are waiting to be answered by you, tell us how the Bread of Life Fellowship got involved in outreach ministry to abortion clinics.
Well, in New Jersey, we have a couple of clinics, or if you call them clinics.
Yeah, that's really a horrible way to describe them. They're infanticide mills.
Yeah, exactly. They're hardly clinics. They're hardly medical facilities. But there are a couple that do late-term abortions, abortions all the way up to, I believe, in Englewood, up to 6 months. So this is not far from me. It's in my neighborhood, about 15, 20 minutes away from our church. And the Lord sent a couple of men who had a burden for this in our church. We initially did not have a ministry to the abortion clinics, but there were a couple of men in the church who had that burden, which we came alongside of them and supported them. And we've been doing this, I think, about 5 years now, going out on Saturday mornings to preach the gospel, to hold up signs, to try to plead with the men and women who are going in there to murder their children, to reconsider. And God's given us a real burden to be there and to be a light, to be salt in the midst of a world that needs preserving, and be light in the midst of this darkness. I mean, this is a matter that's facing the church and the world today. And if the church doesn't stand up and be a light and shine a light on this intense darkness, no one else will. This is something that is accepted, it's legal, more and more we saw society being turned over, but it's through the preaching of truth and through the light that this darkness is exposed, and that's our burden. We want to shine a light on this dark area.
And what have been the reactions from women going into the abortion centers, and also the reaction of those that are employed there?
Well, at first when we started going, there was just one security guard that was posted at the front door. This is a clinic that is right on the street, so we have a public sidewalk there. There was just one security guard, but as a result of our being there, we were going not with a lot of people. I would say maybe five or six people from our church going regularly. What they did is they started to get these clinic, what they call clinic escorts, these volunteers that were there to kind of shield the ladies who are going in, the young girls who are going into the clinic, to keep them from hearing and seeing our signs or hearing us preach. So from the moment that someone drops them off near the clinic, from the moment they get out of the car, these escorts surround them and try to keep them from hearing the gospel. So that's been a challenge for us. As far as the reactions, certainly the people inside, the doctors, the nurses, the volunteers, they wish we were not there. Obviously, we're in a sense getting in the way of their business, and we're getting in the way of their politics. So that's their reaction. As far as the ladies going in, most try to ignore us, but we have had individuals turn around, come out, reconsider, choose life.
Praise God.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's an amazing thing when something like that happens. And I've always said if it happens once, it's worth the years of ministry. But we've certainly seen it happen more than once. And then in addition to that, it's on a major road. So we're holding up signs. We're showing what is exactly going on in that building. So that anyone driving up that road, anyone walking by, hundreds, thousands of people drive by there, and they know as a result of these signs that this is not just a medical center for women, as it says on the front, but that indeed innocent blood is being shed inside of those walls, and babies are being murdered there.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how those that are in favor of infanticide, either those that are the doctors murdering these unborn babies, or the women who are either having their babies murdered, or the feminists and liberals and leftists who are in favor of their freedom, alleged freedom to do that. Isn't it interesting how they very rarely will use terms like abortion? They will say, I believe in a woman's right to choose. Well, choose what? Well, why don't you finish the sentence? And they don't call, typically, those trying to rescue those unborn babies, they typically don't refer to them as refer to them as pro-life. They refer to them as anti-abortion or anti-choice even more frequently, because it obviously will make it look like you are prehistoric Neanderthal chauvinists who are trying to rob women of making personal choices in their lives. But there's a difference between a woman having choices that she has the freedom to make and her taking it upon herself to remove the freedom of choice from a child within her womb by having it murdered.
Yeah, exactly. And also, ironically, while they're trying to basically shut us up or close us down or put up buffer zones that we're not allowed to speak in or walk through, and you start to wonder who really is the one that's anti-choice here.
Right.
To silence our voices, we're up there trying to plead with these women to say, hey, there is another way. There are ministries that will help you. A lot of times they don't realize. They go online, they Google abortion, they find them, they're caught off guard, they find themselves pregnant, often as a result of fornication, and the convenient decision is to kill the child, and they don't really even realize in some cases what they're doing. And we're up there leading with them, this is life, and if God has entrusted you with a child in your womb, he will take care of you. We plead with them that there's a church that desires to help them, that will come alongside of them, and not to believe all the lies that the world believes about children, oh, they're expensive, or oh, they're a burden, or oh, your body is going to look this way for 9 months, and all these things, these reasons that these young women have for making the selfish choice to murder their child, which is really a wretched choice.
Amen. And, I'm going to take a question from a first-time questioner. Christina in Isanti, Minnesota. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce that city. I've never even heard of it before. It's either Isanti or Isanti, I'm assuming. Christina says, my question for Dr. Losardo is, do you think abortion is still legal in our country because the majority of churches in our nation do not actually believe that abortion is murder? Since women having these abortions are not murderers, quote-quote, according to most churches, and these churches are training and teaching the flock, what is at the forefront, which is at the forefront of pro-life, of the pro-life movement? The pro-life movement is not seeking to criminalize abortion, so how can we expect to end abortion if it is not actually a crime? Very good question, and that is, as I said, Christina in Isanti, Minnesota.
Yeah, very good question. The question, can we lay the blame for the sins of society at the doorstep of the church? Well, not the real church, not the church of the firstborn, the invisible church. Yeah, the visible church has neglected this issue, has not spoken up, has not stood up, and for whatever reasons. I mean, when we were faced with a challenge at Englewood, they were putting up a 8-foot buffer zone around the door, and we went to court, and we appealed to the churches in Englewood, saying, this is a law that's coming in your town, and will you come out to the meetings at the courthouse and raise your voice? And sadly, not one church in the town of Englewood responded. One church responded that they would be praying for us, and that's it. No one showed up of all the churches we reached out to. So there is a negligence on the part of the visible church. But ultimately, this is a sin of society. The reality of the reason why abortion exists is because of sin. Is the visible church failing? Yes, but there are also God's people within the visible church that are standing up and are speaking the truth and are instructing their people in the right way of defining life from the scripture. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16 are deemed the classic verse. Let me just read that here. Where David says, you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. We see time and again in the scripture how God is the one who is forming you in your womb. Isaiah 44, Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 22, 9 and 10 says, from my mother's womb, you are my God. So there is even in the New Testament, we see John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb. So it's very clear. People say, well, this Bible doesn't address abortion specifically. No, it doesn't. Abortion is a wicked sin invented by man. The Bible assumes from the beginning that a child is a child, that just because its location is a mother's womb, where it's supposed to be protected, where it grows to the point where it becomes viable on its own, that's a child. And the Bible just assumes that's a child. Does the church need to talk more about this? Absolutely. We need to not turn our backs on this horrible sin of society.
And isn't the primary duty of the church, although when we are providentially given rights to vote and we have politicians rise up, in our midst, we should use every avenue of legality available to us to bring an end to abortion. But isn't the primary goal, the primary function of the church, to evangelize so that hearts are changed? And that those that are new creations in Christ would then help us to basically transform the society. I know that there are many Christians that are opposed to that notion that we are here to present the gospel to individuals that they may be saved. But at the same time, it is a natural byproduct if a society is more and more heavily populated by new creatures in Christ, there will certainly be less babies being murdered in abortion mills and other things going on.
Absolutely, and that's really why we're out there. We often will say that. You know, we're not. We try to make it clear, particularly to those escort volunteers, that this is not a political movement. We're not here because we're Republicans. We're not here because we're pro-Trump. We don't put our hope in politics. We're here for one reason, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what changes hearts and changes lives. So we praise God when women turn around, but we praise God all the more when, if we know that that individual is turning around, is turning to Christ. Because if they just turn around, and praise God, they saved their baby, and we pray that God is working in their heart, but ultimately, it's a changed heart that's going to truly have that child grow up in Christ. And then you're absolutely right, Chris. It's through the changed hearts of individuals that brings a change to society.
We have
that place closed down. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to do what we're doing. We would love to see it closed down.
Yeah, in fact, there is hope for that occurring. I mean, this was quite a number of years ago. This was in the 1980s, I believe it was. But in Lindenhurst, Long Island, I'm sure you're familiar with that, Joe, since you're a native Long Islander.
Yeah.
There was an abortion clinic right on the corner of South Wellwood Avenue and I can't remember the corner street right now. It's the same corner street that the Evangel Church of God is on. But anyway, it's escaped my mind. I think it might be West High Street or something like that. I can't remember. But there was an abortion clinic there, and because of the fact of numerous pro-life activists picketing that place, it eventually shut down.
Praise God.
So that was back in the 1980s. So, but that just is, I say that just to give hope to those who think that they are involved in a hopeless cause.
Amen. If people would get a hold of that, and if churches would get a hold of that and realize that just the fact that the sheer numbers of people have an effect. If you walk out, if someone driving by, sees 30, 40, 50 people in front of a building, there's going to be an effect. We don't know how many people, we know the ladies who go in and then come out, but we don't know how many people just drive by and say, you know what, I'm not going in, just because of our presence.
We have a listener in San Jose, California, Daniel, who says, thank you for discussing this very important and tragic topic. Can you explain the severity of the abortion rate within the United States of America in order for the church to know how large of an opponent the church is facing? Also, can you explain some of the steps that individual Christians as well as local churches could take so we can stand up against those in favor of abortion while still lovingly declaring the gospel?
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. It is statistics, just looking at statistics. Here's the irony of this whole thing. Here's the tragedy of it. God creates the womb of the mother to be the place of the protection of the most innocent, the most needy, the most distressed, of most vulnerable of human beings, to be this place of protection for 9 months. What should be the safest place, what was created by God to be the safest place for the most vulnerable human beings, has become the most dangerous. Over 600,000 babies die every year in this country. Since 1973, when abortion became legal, as a result of the Roe v. Wade, where nine unelected individuals in our country made a decision that that has been yet to be challenged by the most conservative of presidents. But nine unelected individuals made this decision to legalize infanticide. Over 50 million, I believe the number is 55 or 56 million babies have been murdered. The rate of death, the death rate of abortion is higher than the death rate of cancer or the death rate of heart disease.
Wow.
There's one abortion in every five live births. So, 20% of, if I have my numbers right, one abortion in every five live births. So you're talking about a huge number. You're talking about wiping out a population of people. And also, abortion tends to be more of a sin among the lower class, the needy, the less privileged. So you're really removing a whole class of society. Think of the millions of people that would be with us today that are not as a result of this sin.
Yeah, in fact, I want to pick up right where we left off there, because that's a very interesting point, because a lot of people may be unaware of how Planned Parenthood even began and what ideology was inherent to the founder, Margaret Sanger. A lot of people, when I tell them these things, they are utterly shocked, because they had no idea, and they look at me very often with a great measure of skepticism. They can't believe what I'm saying is true. But what we're going to return when we come back from our next break for our sponsors, we are going to return right where Joe left off. And we still have a couple of you waiting to have your questions asked and answered. If you'd like to join those already waiting to have their questions asked and answered, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And by the way, Christina, I forgot to mention Christina in Ashanti, Minnesota. Since you're a first-time questioner, you have won a New American Standard Bible, a free, beautiful New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for Bible Book Service, who will be shipping that out to you free of charge. But we need your full mailing address. Right now, we just have your city and state, Ashanti, Minnesota. So please get back to us with your full mailing address, and we'll have CVBBS.com ship that new Bible out to you as soon as possible. Don't go away, God willing. We are going to be coming back right after these messages from our sponsors with more of Dr. Joe Lusardo.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your world trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation, with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Dr. Joseph Lusardo, the pastor at Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey, and we are discussing a local church's mission to rescue unborn children from infanticide. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, if it's about a personal and private matter that you are asking about, then you can remain anonymous if you wish. But other than that, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Before I return to my discussion with Dr. Lusardo, I would like to give you some important announcements from some of our sponsors. The Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, in cooperation with Long Island Spurgeon Fellowship, present the Gospel of the Reformation, a 500th anniversary, featuring my dear friend Dr. Tony Costa, a PhD in theology and New Testament professor of apologetics at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And he is going to be joined by Pastor Caleb Bunch, Pastor Bruce Bennett, Pastor Dave Corson, and others at this 500th anniversary of the Gospel of the Reformation, Friday, September 29th, and Saturday, September 30th, at Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island. For more details, call 631-806-0614. That's 631-806-0614. Or you can go to wotchurch.com. That's W-O-T, standing for Word of Truth. wotchurch.com, wotchurch.com. The very next day, October 1st, that's Sunday, October 1st, Dr. Tony Costa, who I just mentioned, is going to be also speaking at the Sunday morning service at 11 at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Medford, Long Island, New York. And for more details and directions to Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Medford, New York, call 631-696-5711. 631-696-5711. And you could also go to hopereformedli.net. Hope Reformed LI, standing for Long Island.net. Then, coming up in November, from the 17th through the 18th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is conducting their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology at Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. The speakers include Kent Hughes, Peter Jones, Tom Nettles, Dennis Cahill, and Scott Oliphant. The theme is Forestill Our Ancient Foe, a reference to Satan from Martin Luther's classic Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress. If you would like to join me at this conference, where I intend to have an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth, please go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And again, that's from November 17th through the 18th. Then, following that, in January, from the 17th through the 20th of 2018, the G3 Conference returns to Atlanta, Georgia, on the theme, Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. On the 17th of January, that will be an exclusively Spanish-speaking edition of the conference. And from the 18th through the 20th will be an English-speaking edition of the conference, featuring Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, James White, Tom Askell, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, and Martha Peace. If you would like to join me at the G3 conference, because I intend also to have an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there in Atlanta, Georgia, if you'd like to join me there, go to g3conference.com, G3, that's the number 3, conference.com, g3conference.com. And if you contact any of these organizations for any reason or to register for the events, please let them know that you heard about those events from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, this is a very important announcement that is important but very uncomfortable for me to make. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is facing some serious financial struggles that put us at risk of going off the air. And those that are advertising with me currently and keeping this program afloat have urged me to make these daily appeals for donations and for new advertisers. Those of you who have listened to my program going all the way back to 2005, 2006, when we first started in New York, you will know that I went years without making one single appeal for a donation or for advertising. But we have reached desperate times, and we are asking you, if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to give to your local church, as you are commanded to by Scripture, and provide for your family, which you are commanded to in Scripture, if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to do those things, we ask of you to please consider giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If indeed you are blessed by this program, if it's a part of your daily habit of life, if you love it, if you've learned from it, if you want it to remain on the air, please consider going to ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click on support, and you will be given a mailing address where you can mail a check for any amount made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You can also make the check out to Cruciform Media, Cruciform Media, but it's a lot easier to remember Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you'd like to advertise with us, please just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're advertising is compatible with the theology expressed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I will be more than happy to discuss an advertising campaign with you, whether it's for your church, your parachurch organization, your business, your corporation, your professional practice, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a chiropractor, a dentist, whether it's a special event you're having. Well, as long as it's compatible with the theology of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I would love to speak with you. It doesn't have to be identical. You don't have to have identical theology to either myself or the majority of the guests that I have, but as long as what you are promoting is compatible with the theology expressed here, we would love to advertise whatever it is you're doing. And that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please always remember, never, never, never siphon money away from the local giving to the church where you are a member. In order to help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never siphon money away from that, and never take food off of your family's dinner table if you're struggling to survive. Those two things, as I said, are commands of Scripture. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and its funding are not commands of Scripture. But if we bless you, please consider donating to us or advertising with us if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey the commands of Scripture. Now, we are returning to our discussion with Dr. Joseph Lissardo, former elder in a large charismatic messianic congregation in New Jersey, who earned his PhD in molecular biology of cancer at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx, New York. And currently, he is the pastor at Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey, which is a Reformed Baptist congregation. And we are discussing a local church's mission to rescue unborn children from infanticide. And our email address, if you have a question, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Dr. Lissardo, before we go on to any other questions from our listeners, we, just before the break, were talking about how the majority of women having their unborn babies murdered are those within those most stricken with poverty, those who are of the African-American race primarily. I mean, I hate using that term because of the fact that I believe we have only one race, the human race. But so people understand what I'm talking about in our common day vernacular, those that are black are more prone to have abortions, and those babies, those unborn babies who are black, are much more prone to be the victims of those abortions, and that's largely due to the brainwashing of society by white liberals primarily. I was just about to mention before the break that there is a DVD that I think everyone listening, or I know everyone listening, should have a copy of. It's called MAFA 21, M as in Michael, A, F as in Frank, A, 21. You can go to mafa21.com to find out more about it. That's M as in Michael, A, F as in Frank, A, 21.com. And that documents the rise of Planned Parenthood, which was founded by Margaret Sanger, a racist whose agenda it was to basically rid the earth of, well, especially the United States, of those within the black race and other minorities, which she viewed as nothing more than a burden upon society and a drain on our resources rather than contributors to our society. She had Nazis writing for her magazine prior to World War II. I mean, literal members of the Third Reich. She spoke at Ku Klux Klan rallies. People are jumping up and down, screaming about Donald Trump not making a clear denunciation of the Klan and other white supremacist groups. But Margaret Sanger was openly in favor of this ideology, and yet liberals today view her as a hero of women's rights. Hillary Clinton was thrilled and honored to receive the Margaret Sanger Award from Planned Parenthood. And it's amazing, utterly amazing, that more is not said on this issue, especially by conservatives. Wouldn't you agree that this is utterly amazing that you don't hear this drumbeat every day on Fox News and other places? Because many people are still totally unaware of these facts.
Yeah, it's terribly tragic and ironic, isn't it, that liberals are not, you know, to be a liberal, I mean, listen to this verse, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. I think this would, this is true liberalism, okay, or what it ought to be. Proverbs 31, 8, 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Well, who are the most poor and who are the most needy? Who are the ones who are most destitute, who are being called to open up our mouths, to be a voice to the voiceless? I mean, a true liberal ought to be pro-life. That's the real irony of it. And that's really what I try to do, is challenge liberals in opening up their mind to what they're doing. Are they standing up for the weakest in society?
Yes, and I think the most despicable people out there who are radically in favor of the murder of unborn children in the womb are those that say, I am personally opposed to abortion because of my religious convictions or any other reason, but I do not believe that I have the right to impose my personal views upon women in regard to this. This is a matter between her, her doctor, and her God. Now, I think that is the most wretched position that you could have. It makes my skin crawl when I hear people say it, because in that specific instance, you have people who know it is murder. And yet they're saying, but I'm not going to impose my views against the murder of unborn children on pregnant women. If they want to murder their pregnant, the babies, the humans that they're carrying within their womb, that should be their right to murder those children. Of course, they'd never say it that way, but that's what they are, in fact, stating in other words. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so when you hear politicians make that claim, they're really just trying to appease people on both sides of the issue, which makes it more despicable.
Exactly. That's all it is. It's a cop-out. And it's when you break it down, you realize how foolish it is. It's basically the way you just said it. Oh, I believe, I personally don't believe in murder, but it's okay for someone else to kill.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
That the liberals would not give a pass to anyone saying in the 19th century, well, I might be personally opposed to slavery, but I'm not going to make a problem for my neighbor who has 500 slaves on his plantation. That's his right to do that. That's his personal choice. So, you know, I personally don't like it, but I'm not going to stop his I'm not going to put an end to his freedom to have those slaves. I mean, there's no difference. In fact, you cannot help but draw the conclusion, if you believe that babies in the womb are actual human beings, that the murder of those babies is even far worse a crime against humanity than even slavery was, as evil as slavery was.
Amen. Absolutely. And I believe it was Pearl S. Buck said, the test of a civilization is the way it cares for its helpless members. So let's define the most helpless in our society. Is it not the infant? Is it not the unborn? And our civilization is gravely failing in this test.
We have a listener from, let's see, White Plains, New York, RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, I'm not asking this question out of fear of the ramifications, but just for educational purposes. what legal risks do churches and Christian individuals face when they are picketing abortion clinics or trying to rescue those babies from being murdered, when they approach women entering and exiting those institutions? Now, that reminds me, RJ's question reminds me also, and perhaps you could combine answering his question with a case that you're aware of. We will remain as anonymous as you believe that we need to in this regard, or I should say we will allow the participants to remain anonymous is what I mean, as much as you think is necessary. But there is a church facing legal persecution for their work that is really identical to what you're doing. If you could answer RJ's question and then then follow up with what I was just speaking about.
Yeah, the there is actually in RJ's state of New York, the Attorney General has recently, I believe it was in June of 2017, brought up this case against 14 defendants. There are 110 alleged infractions of certain ordinances, some of which are illegal ordinances. Others of them are there may be some genuine concern. It's not against a church, but it is against individuals from various churches. Although some churches are named in this case, basically it's one particular abortion clinic in Jamaica, Choices in Jamaica, has filed this complaint of what they call extremely aggressive behavior. Now I can't specifically speak to anything that goes on there because I personally have never been there. And is it possible that there's some inappropriate activity going on, blocking, using your body to block people? This kind of thing has historically gone on at abortion clinics around the country in the past. And I do think Christians have some realm of accountability to do things rightly, to preach the gospel, to love the people that we're preaching to. We're not there for political purposes. We're not there in any way threaten. Although I think some of these charges are ridiculous. Like, for example, under one of the examples is an example of a threat is saying to the individual coming in, where is it?
While you're looking, I'm going to announce our email address again. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. If you have another question for Dr. Joe Lissardo, particularly about his own congregation's mission to rescue unborn children from slaughter in infanticide mills. And if you have a personal and private question that you'd like to ask about, you may remain anonymous. But if it's a general question on this subject, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Dr. Lissardo, did you find it?
Yeah, this is it. So the case of they make a death threat to the escorts, and then this is an example of a death threat, saying you can die at any moment. Now that talks about something taken out of context.
Yeah, but that's like an evangelism slogan, like where will you spend eternity if you die? Don't you realize that?
Exactly. Okay. Anyone can die at any moment. You can go out, you can be hit by a car. I mean, these are the kinds of things we say all the time, yet they're taking it as a threat. One time I held up a sign that said something along the lines of "sin deserves judgment," and it was an evangelistic comment. Sin deserves judgment, and a media person came up to me and said, "Are you suggesting that violence? That are you advocating violence against those who participate in this sin of abortion?" And, of course, you know, I had to explain. So things are certainly taken out of context. But to answer the question, we can't be intimidated. This case in the state of New York is for my, as far as I know, the first one, and I'm sure we're going to see many cases like this all over the country. We can't be intimidated. This is something that is clearly near the heart of God. God is a stronghold to the needy and distressed. God is not indifferent to this sin. The blood of the innocent is crying out. And if the church does not stand up, who will? Who's going to raise their voice? Who's going to be a voice for the voiceless if the church becomes intimidated? So, you know, yes. Is there a risk? Yes. There are attorneys that are giving of themselves to take these kinds of cases on, to preserve the freedom of speech that we have to speak up. We can't be intimidated. This is how the enemy is at work in this. And we need to make that stand. We need to stand up. We need to call it what it is. We need to say that it's murder. And we need to go. We need to not be cowering when it comes to these kinds of things. I would encourage pastors and elders of churches, or perhaps if you have a burden for this and you're a member of a local church, to go to your pastor, go to your elder, and see, look for a Planned Parenthood in your neighborhood or an abortion mill in your neighborhood, and say, I just want to go. I'd like to take a few people from the church. And even if you don't preach, even if you're not comfortable preaching, hold up signs. This is something we tell our people all the time. Anyone, everyone can do something. If you stand there, ladies, if you go, you'll have opportunity to speak one-on-one with another lady going in, to try to appeal to them, to share the gospel with them. Others can just hold up sign. You're raising an awareness of what is going on. You're calling it what it is. You're innocent blood. I hold up a sign. It very simply says, innocent blood shed here in big block letters so that everyone driving by can see what's happening. This is something that everyone can do. Anyone and everyone can be involved. And we can't back down out of fear of legal ramifications. If we do, then we're going to find this right taken away from us.
Now, where in the legal procedure is this church right now in regard to this lawsuit they're facing?
I don't know the details. Right now, I believe the case is open, and the individuals who are named in the case are not permitted to speak about it. The actual cases against 14 defendants. But it names dozens of other individuals and churches, including actually, Chris, a former church that you were a member at. You would know what I'm speaking about, and including your former pastor. I believe you were there when the present pastor
Yes, I know you're exactly what. Well, I mean, everybody knows who listens to my program that the congregation is Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. Yeah. And I've had my former pastor there on my show, in fact, even not long ago, speaking about one of the books that he has written. In fact, the last book was on the theodicy, a defense of the goodness of God in light of an evil world filled with suffering. But that wasn't the title. That was the theme of the book. But yeah, I'm sure that he would not mind me mentioning that, since everybody who listens regularly to my show knows that church.
Knows that, yeah. So the existing pastor's named. I mean, there's a number of different people. There are some members from our church named in this as well. Where it is at right now, I don't know. I'm sure that someone is defending them and standing up for truth. If it's available online for those that might be interested, you could find it right on the Attorney General. It's the Attorney General Eric T. Schneiderman. Eric T. Schneiderman, the Attorney General of New York State. And I'm sure if you just put in lawsuits, it's called the lawsuit to end the persistent harassment of women entering the Women's Health Clinic in Queens. And that's all available online if they want to read more about it.
Yes, using tactics no different than those used by liberals throughout history, at times who were involved in noble causes like the equality of all men and women regardless of race. But these are tactics that the liberals championed in decades past, and yet now when those involved in those using those same tactics are pro-life, they have become villains and monsters. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And it's funny too, because you can actually click on, they have a place where you can see a protest where supposedly this kind of aggressive behavior is going on. And if that's the best they have, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I saw at least one of those videos.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the bottom line. They want to shut us up. Most likely they know in these kinds of situations, these things are going to be struck down. Sometimes what happens is at the local level, the law is upheld. But then upon appeal to a higher court, the higher court recognizes this is an issue of freedom of speech. This is an issue of the Constitution, which gives a person a right, and the lower court's decision is overturned. That happens quite a bit as well.
Just out of curiosity, has the ACLU actually ever come to the defense of pro-life groups, to your knowledge? Because they'll come to the defense, even though they're liberals and leftists, they'll come to the defense of Klansmen and Nazis, but for some reason, conservative Christians are usually not their clients.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be a good question to know if that's happened. I'm not sure.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now, and we'll pick up where we left off when we return, God willing. If anybody else would like to join the others who have had questions for Dr. Joe Lusardo, if you want to get online, there's just a couple of people waiting right now. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties.
Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com. and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned in to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 25 minutes to go is Dr. Joseph Lusardo, pastor of Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey. We are addressing a local church's mission to rescue unborn children from infanticide. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, now is the time to do it, because we're rapidly running out of time, and our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we have a listener in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, BB, who asks, can you give our listeners your estimation of the extreme value of visual aids in the fight against abortion? Very good question. And I assume BB is referring to vivid, graphic, full-color photographs of babies that have been murdered in the womb and have been dismembered, things that are shocking for all of us who we very often might see, even our brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, recoil and disgust, and some of them even get angry with us, even though they might be pro-life, because they'll say, oh, that's not necessary, is it? But when I think about how the world was convinced of the Holocaust, the way that the world primarily was convinced that Hitler did indeed have Jews and others round up in consecration camps, I can't even say the word, where they were horribly mistreated, starved, and thrown into enormous pits, with their corpses thrown into enormous pits by the thousands, and just treated in inhuman ways. The way that they discovered that this was a reality was through film, seeing it with your own eyes. But if you could comment on that.
Yeah, absolutely. The photographs and the depictions that doctors who formerly performed abortions, these kinds of things are very helpful as far as convincing people of the reality of the horror of it. Like you said, a picture really does have a tremendous effect in that way. I do know some Christians who would prefer not to use that. They might see it as sensationalizing or whatever, and that's certainly up to them. We try to encourage freedom in our outreaches. We want to have as many Christians with their own personal convictions going out. Some just hold up verses of scripture, so it varies. But certainly that's helpful as far as opening up people's eyes to the reality of what's going on there.
Yeah, well, it's hard to imagine how you can sensationalize the murder of unborn children in the millions, because sensationalizing usually means that you're exaggerating the importance of something. This is you could hardly exaggerate the importance of this.
You can't, right? Exactly. Yeah, maybe that's a poor word. But I can understand I understand Christians with that conviction, and like I said, Christians will vary on that.
Right.
I believe they're useful and helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think for the very reasons that I stated, that the most effective way that humanity became aware of the truth of the Holocaust was through seeing it with their own eyes. It's interesting, a very good friend of mine who led me to Christ 30 years ago, she went to a t-shirt company to have t-shirts made that had a beautiful picture of an unborn baby in the womb on the front of the t-shirt, and it said life in her design, and on the back of the t-shirt it had a murdered child, a photograph that she wanted to put on there, an actual photograph of a murdered unborn baby, and murder on the back. And the t-shirt company that she first went to, she's still on a mission to get this done, the t-shirt company would refuse to do it because the graphic artist could not even look at the pictures. Now, I don't know if this woman was for or against abortion, but if she is against abortion, you have to wonder why. Why can't you look at that? Because this is most often referred to as a routine surgery or operation. And if this was just the removal of a kidney, or something like that, I wouldn't recoil in horror seeing, a picture of a kidney or a tumor or whatever else might be removed from someone's body in a surgery. Right. And I know that my listeners may get tired of me saying this because I've repeated it many times, but I don't understand why television networks like Fox News, who are claiming to be conservative and pro-life in the majority, why aren't they airing films of abortions at least once a month, or especially during an election cycle, like during a primary race, or even any other election race. If you want people to vote intelligently with an education, why not show a film of an abortion? You could show them at different stages. You could show them in the earlier stages all the way up through the late term abortions. Why don't people show these? And the liberals have no excuse at all, because they are saying that this is not a murder. This is not anything that is anything other than a surgery or a medical procedure. I can remember when Pat Buchanan was running for president on the Reform Party ticket back in the 90s. He was a guest on a program, and I called in the radio program, and I asked Pat Buchanan the very thing that I am wondering about now. I said, "Pat, why aren't there more conservatives showing films of abortions or demanding that they be shown on television on major networks when there is an election going on?" And Pat Buchanan, the poster boy for conservatism and poster boy allegedly for pro-life, he said, "Oh, we wouldn't want to do that." And I said, "Why?" "Well, that would be like televising a gruesome execution." I said, "That's my point."
Yeah.
But thank you, BB, for providing that excellent question. In fact, we didn't really, now that I'm looking back at Daniel's question from San Jose, California, his last question that I don't think that we fully addressed, he said, "Can you explain some of the steps that individual Christians as well as local churches could take so we could stand up against those in favor of abortion?" Can you give a summary of a guide on how you and the Bread of Life Fellowship did this? And
yeah, it's really very simple. Like I said earlier, just go to your pastor if you are a pastor. Look around in your neighborhood. There's going to be something. There's going to be a Planned Parenthood. There's going to be some kind of clinic or something where this is going on, that you want to generally look for something that's on public property as opposed to private property, because if there's a big private parking lot, then you can't really, you just have to kind of stay outside. But even if that's the case, you can find places where you can go. Very simply, make up some signs, or you can buy signs from various ministries online, or have some signs made up, printed for you know, on your own, and just go out. That's really it. There's really no, you know, it's like anything. It's like going out and preaching the gospel. You have an evangelism ministry. You go out. You hand out tracts, right? Well, it's the same thing, but you do this in front of the abortion clinic. Not a difficult thing at all to get started.
We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, "Do you have any words of comfort to women who have had abortions and have come to repentance over the issue, but are haunted by the sin that they have committed perhaps multiple times, meaning the murder of their unborn child or children?"
Yes. Amen. And by the grace of God, we have in our church a number of ladies who have gone through this in the past, and some who come out regularly to minister, to intercede, and to sound the alarm to these young ladies who are making the same choice that they made years ago, to warn them. They're the only comfort we have for any sin is the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he offers at the cross. And that forgiveness is complete. When Jesus bowed his head and said, "It is finished," the sin of every single sin of every single individual who believed in him was born, and the wrath for that sin received, the guilt of that sin paid for. And we can rest in an absolute, utter forgiveness, and know that that this sin, as well as all of our sins, are completely forgiven, and we can rest in that. And I know of no other comfort. That's the blessing of our faith, Chris. You know, is that no matter how wicked we might have been, and we're all wicked. We're all wicked in our own ways. To know that our sin is forgiven, and Christ is the only one who has who guarantees that. You know, the other world will tell you something you got to do to be saved. Christ gives his forgiveness freely to all who believe in him. So I would just encourage anyone who has gone through this sin to recognize it as such, confess it as such, but don't end there. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the forgiveness that he offers at the cross, in his death, in his burial, and receive the freedom that he offers in the resurrection. And know that that's for you.
Amen. And I remember as a teenager, are you there, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, I heard something that sounded like a disconnect there.
Yeah.
I remember as a teenager, one of my friends had impregnated a young lady on several occasions, and she had abortions on all of the initial occasions, the initial of several pregnancies. She had those babies murdered. Of course, in her mind, that's not what she was doing, but... even through pressure of my friend, who was the biological father of those babies. And the reason that she had the child during the last pregnancy that she had while still seeing this young man who was my friend, she had it because the doctor said, if you have another abortion, you may never be able to conceive a child again in your life. Now, it's interesting that this kind of thing isn't well known to women, that you're not only murdering a child in the womb, but women are being put at great risk regarding their own capacity to reproduce, to procreate, and it's ironic that the pro-abortion or pro-infanticide movement goes under the guise of women's reproductive rights. Many of these women are being robbed of their reproductive abilities through abortion. Have you heard anything about those statistics at all?
No, I don't know specifics on that, but certainly it is something that we often need to raise our voices about. I'll tell you, they're not letting the ladies that go in there know these things. They're not showing them a sonogram because they know. They know once the mother sees that child, that there's going to be an immediate emotional attachment that built in, that God builds into us. God builds into mothers to love their children, to protect their children. The problem is there's a disconnect, you know. They really don't believe this is a baby. That's why these ministries that offer free sonograms for women who change their minds or who are at least considering an abortion, one of the greatest things they can do is show them a picture of their baby so that they know, hey, this is a baby. There's a heart. There are fingers. There are hands. There are arms and legs that move. And there's a head and there are eyes and all of these things. And once they see it a lot of times, I don't know the specific statistics, but I do know that many change their mind about having an abortion when they see. But they're not going to do that in the clinic. They're not. If you ask them, they're not going to do that. They don't offer those services because their mission is to murder.
You know, one of the areas where even some in the pro-life movement or in the periphery of the pro-life movement, cave in to the so-called pro-choicers, is that they will say, well, I'm against abortion unless it involves rape, incest, or the jeopardy of the life of the mother. If you could,
right.
if you could, as a Christian and as a Christian minister, respond to that or those arguments.
Yeah. Well, once you allow it for anything, then you're caving in on the idea that this is not a human being, that this is not a child. Since when in any other situation, my daughter, okay, since when could someone else, another human being outside of Christ who took on himself the sin of the world, how can why should one human being pay for the sin of another human being? So really at the end of the day, rape and abortion are wrong for the very same reason. You know, so it actually hurts our argument when these politicians say, well, for rape and incest, I believe it should be allowed, because it makes our case inconsistent. If this is a human being, then it has a right to life. And that's really where it needs to be argued at. Even politically, laws, I believe, there are no laws on the book that define the beginning of life. And I believe that there are some politicians that are working on some legislation to define life, to define the beginning of life as conception. If we could do that, then life is protected. Life is protected by the 14th Amendment. So that's why it's very important. This whole rape and incest thing, while we could certainly feel for the individual and minister to that person, why would it be even considered that we take the life of an innocent for the sake of the guilty who committed the crime? It just doesn't make any sense.
Now, in regard to a woman's life being at risk, it's interesting how they used to say that. Now they have devolved into making it merely the health of the woman. Now, that could mean almost anything. That could mean that she's depressed post-delivery. Or she gains too much weight, or she whatever. They have made the word meaningless in regard to the risk. But if you're talking about conservative Christians talking to each other, when it comes to a woman's life really being at risk, how do you as a minister respond to that? Because I have heard that an abortion will not do anything to further enhance the safety of a pregnant woman, and that there are ways, even if the child, the odds of the child surviving are very minimal to none, to at least evoke a premature delivery or something.
Yeah.
Which, where the intention is not to murder the baby. That's not the intention.
Right.
The intention is to save the woman's life, because there is truly a medical problem that may cause the mother's death. But the butchering of a baby in her womb is not any kind of procedure that would ensure or even improve the risks of her surviving.
Exactly. So this is a reality. In fact, it happened with two families in our church where the mothers were diagnosed with gestational diabetes, and their life was in danger, and the baby was carried to about 28 or 30 weeks or something along those lines. And you're right, at that point the baby is induced. The baby is born, and everything medically possible is done. And in both cases, there are two young ladies now in this world. And we thank God for technology, because who knows, years ago, what would have happened in such cases. But we thank God that technology now can save the babies and the mothers as well. Yeah, that's all really I have to say about that.
Well, I'd like you to have about 3 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding our subject.
Okay, sure. Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12 says this, says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? This is a challenge that we have as God's people, to step out, to be a voice for the voiceless, to raise our voice for the mute, to stand up for those who are in distress and those that are needy. The neediest individuals in our society need us. They need us to go. They need us to be out on the streets. They need us to raise our voices, to rescue those who are being taken away to death, to stand in the way. We can't say, behold, I didn't know this, because God weighs our heart, and he knows that the excuse of, well, I didn't know, is not going to work at the end of, at the judgment. So let's be who we're called to be. Let's be the church. Step out. Go out. Be a light in the darkness. Where sin abounds, there much more does grace abound. We know that that's true. Why is that not true in front of every abortion clinic in our country? Why is sin abounding? I know of no darker place in our country than the abortion mills, if you think about it. The drug houses, or, you know, put whatever you want to say, one of the darkest places, if not the darkest place that exists in our society, are these abortion mills. Why is not grace abounding? Why is not the light shining at these dark places? And I realize it's uncomfortable. I realize, you know, there are reality. We have church members who've had abortion. But the point is, we need to stand up. We need to speak the truth. We need to step out. We need to be salt. We need to be light. And we need to go, because the test of a civilization is the way it cares for its most helpless members. And the test of a church is how are we caring for the most helpless members in our community? Are we loving our neighbor? The babies in the womb are our neighbor. And we need to love our neighbor and speak up and stand up and do whatever we can to strongly support life. And I would encourage pastors, and I would encourage Christians to do what they can to do so.
Well, I know that your website is bolfellowship.org. That's B-O-L, which stands for Bread of Life. bolfellowship.org. Any other contact information that you care to give?
Sure. Yes, our toll-free number is 1-866-38-BREAD. That's 1-866-38-BREAD. Yeah, the website has our information. If you're in the New Jersey, New York area, we'd love to see you. Come out and visit us at our church. If you'd like some help, maybe with your local congregation, as far as starting up an abortion ministry or ministry, a gospel preaching ministry at the abortion mill in your area, we'll be happy to help you do that. So please feel free, contact us, send us an email through our website, or give us a call. We'll be happy to help with any of that.
Well, thank you, Dr. Joe Lusardo. If you could hold on the line, because I want to schedule you for another interview in the future. So if you could hold on for a minute.
Sure.
And I want everybody, I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who wrote in. Those of you who are still too intimidated to ask a question of Dr. Lusardo, I hope that you reach out to him on your own time, through email or by phone. And I thank especially those who took the time to write in questions today. And I thank Dr. Lusardo, obviously, for being my guest, and also Reverend Buzz Taylor for being my co-host, who had to leave early. But I hope that you all always remember, that includes all of you who have been been involved in abortions, whether it is your own child or perhaps the child of or the children of others that you helped encourage women to murder, or perhaps you are an abortionist yourself. Perhaps you're a doctor that has performed this horrible crime. Well, I want you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.